You are listening to Know You're Crazy. My name is Susan Dene. We all have crazy. What separates us is how we choose to deal with it. I'm going to be delivering engaging and actionable tools to own your crazy, treat your crazy, and turn it into your own superpower. I hope that you walk away from this show feeling the power and strength within you. And never forget to enjoy your journey because you are worth it. This is Susan Dene. Welcome to the Know You're Crazy talk show, where you are listening to emotional recovery in the raw. Today, I'm a little bit inspired. The advertisement for the show today was about motivation. However, I'm going to be changing it up just a little bit. I'm still going to be talking on that topic. However, it kind of, you know, I recently I'm taking a writing class, and it's called the 428 class. It's posting and writing every day for 28 days straight. The platform that these particular folks use for the course is Twitter. I was joking the other day with my mentor that I think I paid a few hundred dollars just to learn how to tweet, but it's all good. It actually works quite well. The secret with Twitter is, well, what I'm learning is it is for writers, but it forces you to get to the point and get to the point quickly. And it's been an exploration for me. I think we're on day, 3 weeks in. I've managed to post every day on time. Today, however, when I was posting, you've got single threads or a single post on Twitter. You can tell I'm a student, right? And then you have threads. Threads, I'm understanding, get read more often, or you get a, you know, more of a chance of getting followers, whatever. I'm a baby in this thing. Anyway, I posted a thread today about the five lessons or the five tools I used to overcome rock bottom professional, watching my father pass away from COVID, helping my elderly mom in her dementia years, making sure that her needs were met. What else? A child who went through three rounds of treatment for an addiction to fentanyl. Menopause. What else? My goodness. And as I was tweeting this today, You ever get that feeling when you've walked through a lot? If for those of us who have spent time emotionally, mentally, physically even transforming, sometimes what we will hear from those folks around us is they will notice the growth. They will notice the growth before you realize the growth. Then one day, you'll have an experience when you realize, I did grow. You realize, wow, that was a lot of work. How did I do that? It's coming out on the other end of, I like to say, the storm has calmed and you come out on the other end of it. It's almost as if you reflect back thinking, who was that? Like, who was that person? It can feel surreal. Today, when I was tweeting my five habits that allowed me to emotionally survive those ordeals, and a business startup, I forgot to add that. Those five habits that carried me through that was over a period of time, arguably 3 to 4 years. Last week, if you missed the show, I did an interview with a gentleman by the name of Ed Norwood. Fantastic interview. If you did not watch that show, I highly encourage you to go onto my YouTube channel and watch it. We will be posting clips and I will be posting clips along with Ed posting clips on that show last week. He was an amazing inspiration because he was a person who has done the emotional work. He impressed me, not that he was trying to impress me, but just his connection to growth and how the relationships in his life have benefited as a result of that. In particular, his parenting, his perspective on parenting. I found it highly inspirational for me last week. loved that show. If you haven't watched it, please go back and watch that. Trust me, you will find some inspiration listening to him. He articulates the connection as far as before and after so well. It's a show well worth watching. But in that show, one of the topics that we hit upon was what it's like when you're in the middle of growth. And in his book, he dedicates a chapter to the wilderness. When you're out in the wilderness, you're wondering, when is this going to end? You're wondering, can I make it through? You don't know. You completely become, for me, I became unable to meet what I thought were the needs of others at the time. That's what it felt like to me. It's a complete point of surrender. Many of you watching this show right now have been in places of your life when you are in a complete state of surrender. One of the reasons I love working with women in recovery from addiction and alcoholism is because they don't see their courage or their stamina in the beginning. And I get to witness that for them. And I get to show them and explain to them what I'm witnessing, because they are in that phase of the wilderness where they're so numb, they don't know what's right or what's wrong. And they are leaning so much into the support network that they need in order to pull through that. Someone like me has been given the gift to give that gift back and be able to say, you are an amazing individual. Let me show you and let me explain to you the courage and the stamina that I'm witnessing for you putting down the drink or the drug. Because it's an amazing thing when you see somebody recover. That gift of service to others has showed me along the way that when we are in the wilderness, we are somewhat blind to the progress. We are blind to the progress. Today, when I tweeted the five habits that helped me survive these things, I would love to say that I was being original with the five habits. I was taking lead off one of the teachers. He had supplied a PDF of different ways to spark the writing, different phrases you can say to kind of get you going. And that was one of his that he used. And I was using that. And as I wrote out these five habits, you know, and what helped me survive this particular time in the wilderness for me, I had that moment of, wow, I really kind of came through a lot in, I think, what could be argued a short amount of time. It may not sound like 3 to 4 years is a long or a short amount of time, but relatively speaking, to go through those number of things that I went through and that my husband and my family were going through, it feels like it drags on a little bit. One of the beauties of coming through a storm and being able to reflect back is once you are actually through the storm, you can reflect back and look and kind of bring an answer to what was going on. In today's show, I'm going to be sharing with you those five habits that I implemented and that was a consistent part of my life and my belief system in order to pull me through storms such as death of a loved one, to pull me through storms such as witnessing somebody in their suffering, to pull me through storms of watching a child have to use everything that they've got to overcome an addiction as nasty as fentanyl, which is just on fire right now everywhere. We are losing people by the hundreds. Somebody was telling me the other day that the morgues are overfilled because of the number of deaths to fentanyl. It is an addiction that is out there. As somebody in recovery, it just rips my heart out to see the number of lives that are being lost. We are talking about it in the rooms of recovery. People are losing their children to this, to their husbands, to their wives. I mean, it's just a nasty addiction. But to come through that as a family member and to fortunately have a family member who is fully recovered from that today, what do you do? How do you build the emotional toolbox? What are the tricks of the trade that maybe somebody like me might do to get through those storms and not lose their frickin' mind? And remember, I don't drink and I don't drug, so there's no numbing it out at the end of the day. When I was in Nebraska and my dad was on a ventilator and I was in the thick of it, that was before the vaccinations came out and, you know, the kids were on Zoom and I had women that I was mentoring and I was in the middle of, not knowing if the day job was going to work out. I mean, just, you know, it was going on. I remember talking to my AA sponsor at the time, and she had said to me, I was talking about how heartfelt the nurses were, the ones that were on the front line, the ones that were, you know, wearing the gear, but in the front line, taking care of my father, and how good of a job they were doing. And we were just talking about the emotional strain that must have taken on them. And then I was talking about my own experience. And one of the things that she reminded me of, she said, just remember, Susan, you're not going to be able to numb out with anything when you go home. You know, when you come back to that hotel room, the difference between maybe somebody in recovery from alcoholism and addiction and somebody who doesn't need to worry about being in recovery, right? There is no glass of wine at the end of the day to take the edge off. Why do I share that with you? Because the tools that I have used to get through these life experiences, I've been doing it stone ass sober. So they got to work. They got to work because there's no checking out. There's no, you know, well, maybe with a little bit of TV. I'm saying I could numb out if I want to. You give me a bunch of sugar, I could numb out. But even then, the awareness is still there. You know, I drink a lot of coffee, but it's not allowing me to completely become obliterated or, you know, completely numb out. You know what I'm getting at? I have vices. It's just the worst vices I can't handle. So we don't do those no more. So these five habits and these five things that I have implemented over a lifetime really are what I'm going to be talking about today. Because I think, you know, as I tweeted that today and I understood, you know, there's something in here that I think could really help some folks who might be struggling right now, who might be just on the front end of the storm, you know, when you're kind of realizing it's a coming. Like, for example, when my mom called that day and said about my father and the position that they were in, I knew the storm was coming. I didn't know how bad that storm was going to get, but I had a sense that it was not going to be good. You know, when your child is addicted to something, you have a notion that storm's a coming. You don't want to get into future tripping or fearful, and you're trying to practice faith and hope, but you know this one's going to hurt. When you resign from the career of 20 years and you're sitting in an office with three owners and they're telling you they want to do X, Y, and Z, and you're having to stand up for your worth and you're having to knock down patriarch and everything else, you know the storms are coming. You know that whatever this transition is going to be in your life, that it may not be easy, it may be challenging, but you're going to get through it, but you don't know how. Yeah, that's the kind of storm I'm talking about. So if you're on the front end of that storm, if it's just starting to brew and you know it's a coming and this one's going to hurt a little bit, stay tuned, because what I'm talking about today are some tools that I applied over that period of time in order to make a change. And so when I come back, I'm going to take a short break. And when I come back, I'm going to be going through those five things with you so that you can have a way out of the storm or just a way to endure the storm. All right, so stay tuned. We'll be back shortly.
On the Spiritual Freedom Show, you will hear the voice of an extraterrestrial master speaking through my teacher, Dr. George King, as it was recorded over 60 years ago. I'm Richard Lawrence, and on this podcast, I bring you the nine freedoms, which I believe to be the greatest wisdom on earth, with practical ways to give global service and attain enlightenment.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together. We'll be right back.
welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Dene, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. If you are just now joining, I am simply going over my five top habits that can keep the crazy away when you're walking through something that is very challenging for you. In the opening segment, I have simply just explained, I was tweeting this morning, took this writing course. The subject was, what are the five top habits that got me through X? And when I thought about X over the last 3 to 4 years, I realized there was addiction in there, there was death in there, there was menopause in there was professional rock bottom in there, and there was starting a business in there, and something else in there. It was like a bad country song, quite honestly. But as I looked back on, as I looked down at my writing on that tweet today, what I thought to myself was, wow, you know, there's moments where you will gain some clarity about how much you've walked through, and you almost amaze yourself. Other people can see you walking through it sometimes, but sometimes it takes a while for you to kind of wake up and be like, wow, I'm through that storm. Like, whoo, what was that? I don't even know who I am or who that was. Like, it's a weird sense, but yet you will find yourself really grateful for getting through it. Really grateful for getting through it. So this, now that we're back from break, I'm going to just jump in and start talking about what are the five things that I did over that 3 to 4 year period of time that kept me from losing my mind, from going crazy. All right. Number one, what was the first thing? Number one I put down this morning, morning routine. Some of you may have a steadfast morning routine. A morning routine is something that I started dedicating years ago. It happened probably, I'm 21 years clean and sober. I believe I started the morning routine somewhere around 7 or 8 years. Back then, what it looked like was me waking up early enough to catch, I think it was the 5:30 a.m. news. Today, I don't watch the news anymore. But back then, I would wake up at 5:30. I would have my coffee. I would watch a half hour of news, and I would just kind of start coming to. That's where it started. Fast forward all these years, the news has been removed. No longer bother with that. Not sticking my head in the sand, really. Well, maybe I am. I really don't care. It's negative. I don't like it. So I keep that out of my, that's one thing I do is I protect my peace a lot. I keep a lot of negativity from coming in, extra negativity that I don't need. That's a little side tip there. But the morning routine, dedicating a period of time, for me, it's in the morning to really start the day off with a clear mind and intention for my day. What that looks like for me, I get up anywhere between 4 and 5 a.m. I spend at least 3 hours of my morning just taking care of my mind, taking care of my body. So I will wake up, I spend about a half hour of free thinking, not purposely thinking, just watching the thoughts that come through and not in practice, not attaching to anything. Sometimes those thoughts might be related to the to-do for the day. Sometimes those thoughts might be related to something that happened that week. Those thoughts might be related to something coming up. Those thoughts might be related to a dream I had where I'm really trying to remember the dream or the craziness of the dream. But it's about a half hour where I am just simply sitting in silence and watching free thought. Okay. A new thing that I've implemented in my morning is I'm not drinking coffee for at least a half hour. This is a big deal for me. I love my coffee. I drink it black, but I'm waiting for a half hour in order to allow my cortisol levels to lower on their own. And I'm hydrating right away, trying to get up to about a 16 ounce water in the morning. Right now, I'm floating about 12 ounces simply to rehydrate. So your period of sleep, when you're sleeping, that is going to be a very long stretch of time where there's no fluids coming in, obviously. And so the body is completely cleaning out overnight. So that water first thing in the morning is going to help rehydrate you. So that's part of the morning routine. After I allow free thinking for about a half hour, next I'm going to go into positive statements. You know, the subconscious is a powerful thing. How we program our subconscious, sometimes we leave that just to habit. I started taking ownership of how my subconscious is. Literally, I started doing this practice. It was a new practice about 3 months ago. And it is simply a statement that you would like to see come true for you. For example, one of the things that I was fighting, as I mentioned, you know, walking through menopause, when your estrogen levels decline significantly, some of the side effects of that can be extreme brain fog, short-term memory, a feeling of extreme fatigue. That might be a result of everything declining. I don't know. But for me, it was a pretty significant shift in how I used to be versus the new body and the new way I was walking. So one of the things, once I got my body refueled with natural hormone replacement and a few other things, the clarity came back. But now I was left with old ideas and old beliefs of how I had been operating for about 3 to 4 years. And so even though I understood some of the underlying causes of the lack of motivation, I had ended up attaching a lot of bad habits with it, just literally fighting for my sanity. So my positive thing that I say to myself in the morning will be, you might think it's funny, but I'll just tell you, I'm a focused, motivated machine. I'm a focused, motivated machine. And I will say that nonstop for 5 to 7 minutes. I set a timer and I say that nonstop for 5 to 7 minutes. If I deviate, you know how it's like weird, like you'd be saying something, but your thoughts are thinking about breakfast. Like if that happens to me, I refocus back on the words and I vision seeing myself doing something motivating. So that's part of my morning routine. And I will do that. I have 3 different things that I say, 5 to 7 minutes each. Whatever it is that I'm wanting to come into my existence, to come into my life, I am now going to program myself with positive thinking around that in the morning and reprogramming, changing the state. So that's what that's about. After that, I go into at least a 15-minute meditation, not much more. My meditation practice kind of comes and goes. There's been times where it's super strong. Right now, it's almost like retraining the focus again. So my meditation, sometimes it's completely quiet. Other times I got headphones in and I'm listening to meditation music and I'm focusing on the breathing. 15 minutes. 15 minutes is what I dedicate to that. After that, I think I'm floating somewhere around pushing 5 a.m. And from 5 to 6 a.m. is when I'm spending my time on that writing homework with that new course that I'm taking. This is an excellent time. If I wasn't doing that, this would be the time where I would also journal. Do you notice in this morning routine, where now I'm coming into the second hour of the morning, I've yet to look at my cell phone? Yeah, I don't allow any outside input from the world on my conscious state in the morning for at least 2 hours. And the only reason it gets entered in the third hour is because I'm going to be listening to my Spotify and I'll be on my elliptical. And this is where the body comes into play. And I'll be going over my calendar, maybe listening to music, or I'm reading a book at that point. So this is my morning routine. And so as I was walking through those 3 or 4 years, even when I was waning in motivation, even when I really wanted to sleep in, I always made it a habit to get up in the morning and have that quiet time. If I needed to pray, there were some times where I really had to get down on my knees and pray. It's done during the morning routine. And so that morning routine is so critical to my mental health. I would never go without it. You know, for me, some people have said, how can you get up that early? Because when you've raised 5 children and you've worked full time and you want to exercise, I don't leave my schedule to create excuses for me. I'm going to find my time to get up. And I found when I turned 40 years ago, that the one time that I could actually focus and I could actually dedicate some quality time was in the morning at 4 a.m. Nobody was up. Even the dogs are sleeping. So that's why that sweet spot in the morning. So morning routine is critical. No telephone, 3 hours, you know, I'm praying, meditating, free-floating thoughts, specific positive affirmations of what I want to see develop in my life. After that, after I'm doing my riding from 5 to 6, I'm on the elliptical running for 45 minutes. I don't run quite as fast as I used to, but I get my 45 minutes in, usually about 4 miles. After that, I'm going to take my kiddo to school. I'm going to let the dogs out. And then I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to lift for about 45 minutes. Pick a body part, focus on that. And then I lift. And then I'm starting my work day roughly around between 8 and 8:30 in the morning. So morning routine, critical. going through those 3 or 4 years when everything was going on, I may not have been as strict. Right now, I can tell you that routine with the exercising and stuff, but the exercise would wane back and forth. Sometimes, if it wasn't going to the gym, it was simply doing stretches at home. Sometimes if it wasn't on an elliptical, it was taking a walk outside. Like, I just didn't stop and do nothing. I got really good, and I have been pretty good about just do something. I'm not one of those individuals that thinks that I have to, you know, climb mountains to feel good about myself. As long as there's progress being made, whether that's just get up, just make the bed, just do 5 minutes on the elliptical, just do one stretch. That's all it takes to eventually build upon that once you start building the stamina and the repetition. Okay, that's a long one, but that was number one. That was number one on my list as far as what I did. All right, what's number two? Number two to not going crazy when you are in the wilderness, the storm is happening. You know what? This is a good one because I already talked about it. Exercise. That's it. So that's part of my morning routine. Finding my flow and finding my breathing. I had heard from a speaker one time about the effect of cardio. Not only is it healthy for us for all those other, you know, great reasons. And I'm like, I got to just say this. I am so sick of hearing advertisements about, you know, menopause. You know, you no longer have to run. I don't care about any of that. Running is good for you because it allows you to breathe and breathe in, breathe out. It pushes you to new limits of just aerobic. It's super healthy for you. As long as, you know, your doctor signed off, don't be doing that if you got some bad stuff going on. But I keep hearing, you know, everybody saying, oh, you should, if you can exercise, I'm on the elliptical. I'm not running marathons, but it's a healthy thing and it makes you feel good. But exercise is super important, especially as we get older with the weightlifting, the resistance training is key to helping us so that I heard this great quote yesterday about, it's not about the bikini body anymore or, you know, looking hot. I don't know if you men wear Speedo. I hope not, but swim trunks. But it is about when I get older, I don't want it to be aches and pains when I go to do everything, right? So exercise, number two thing. Number three, this is one of my go-tos. I have always believed in therapy. Been a big believer in therapy since I was a kid. When I say kid, 18 or 19 years old, I had gone through some things back then. And I remember thinking, this was before I got sober, but I remember thinking, go to counseling so that this thing doesn't affect you for the rest of your life, right? And I had gone into therapy back then and I had this great counselor and she helped me. She helped me significantly. And I never forgot the power of talk therapy. I have never forgotten that. And so part of my habit building my entire life has always been willing to go and talk to somebody about what's going on with me to help squash the crazy. When I come to you on this show and I talk about the crazy, and you know, my tagline, that's how I describe it. Everything I bring to you, I've done. There's no talking to you about stuff I haven't done. There's no helping somebody if I haven't done it. I've pretty much applied every single tool in the toolbox to put this head on in a good way on a regular basis. And I'm okay with that. Therapy is number three on my list. I can't explain the number of emotional and mental shifts that I have had as a result of therapy. When, originally I was going to do this show on motivation and really how we get to the point of making changes in our life and how when fear is the one that motivates us to make change, fear is a great motivator until it's not. What I had found, I had been years without therapy. I went through periods, but then when this professional rock bottom was brewing, I went back into therapy to start talking about that. I don't know if any of you out there have been in a professional rock bottom where you just feel stuck. Like there's no light at the end of the tunnel. For me, I had been with this company long enough, like a dysfunctional family. You know, the personalities were strong at this point. Lovely people on some level, on other level, not so much. And I'm sure that could probably be, you know, looked at me at the same way. Like I said, worked with them for a long time. But it hit some stuff, right? I remember when I went back into therapy, I was talking to my therapist and she said, well, you know, you're still working out family dynamics. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You mean to tell me like sobriety and all this, like I'm still working this crap out at work? Like what the hell, you know? But it was, you know, things like that, that I can lightheartedly look at, but appreciate somebody else's perspective on my growth to help get me unstuck when I need unstuck. This is also the same reason why I would work with a coach, to help me vision a future and help me get to taking steps to create that future that I don't see that I could take. Same ballpark, right? The therapy really came in handy when my father was passing away, when I came through that first level of that storm, like the first, you know, I don't know, the first lightning strike. I don't know. He had passed away. It was the end of December of 20. You know, you're in the holidays. I mean, it was just this horrible thing. But I remember when I came home, I said, I'm going to call my old therapist and hopefully she's available, because I don't know if any of you were trying to find a therapist during COVID, but oh my goodness, it was not easy. And I found she was available and I began weekly sessions with her, and I stayed in therapy for over 2 years. Sometimes didn't really feel like I needed it, but I always showed up and she was always able to provide some insight and a perspective that I hadn't thought about. One that I have mentioned many times on this show probably, and I've mentioned it with the people that I work with, was the burden and the emotional stress that we feel when witnessing somebody close to us going through hard times. Family members, our children, the ones that really tug on our heartstrings. It's usually family. When we feel like we have a responsibility or a role in somehow contributing or not contributing to their happiness, when we are struggling, where do we fit in their struggle? That type of situation. So witnessing somebody else's struggle can be really overwhelming and quite sad for people. I didn't realize that part of the stress and part of the heartache that I was carrying was witnessing the pain that my birth family was walking through as my dad was transitioning, my mom, my sister, let alone what my children were walking through with it back then, and then my husband. You know, we were losing in our family. We had lost not only my father, but my husband had lost his parents a few years before that, and then we lost his sister to cancer last year. So it's been really upfront. And then when you watch a child of yours walk through pain, it's kind of unique when you have a blended family. I always like to point this out. When you're a blended family and you have step parenting going on, how one child, when both parents care like my husband and I do, at the end of the day, his kids, he will experience their pain different than I will experience because they're not my birth children. I'm not saying that's the same for everybody. That just happens to be our circumstance, and vice versa. When my kids go through something, he may not experience it to the same depth and despair that I might. He won't have as much fear around it as I might because I'm impacted a little bit differently. And that's just part of being a blended family, at least for us. But what therapy showed me was, oh, that's kind of like a lot of stuff to go through. And if you're not talking about it, and you've been in the middle of a storm and you haven't had an outlet yet, highly recommend therapy. Number three on my list to help deal with the crazy when you're in the storm, therapy. All right. And let's see, what do we got next? And, you know, what I will say with therapist, make sure it's a good fit. She was absolutely, and she continues to be, a strong point in my life. I would have never walked through or had the insights with my day job that I was at for so many years without her guidance. I come to understand things about environment that I had never known before. I mean, just really critical things like that, that truly allowed me some grace and removed. Oh, this is the key. Oh, my goodness. When we are in the storm and we are unable to perform like we normally would like to, Like, you know what you're capable of only because in the past you saw yourself capable of that. But then for some reason in this present storm, you can't muster up the ambition to do it like you did. Maybe your beliefs are changing, things are shifting, but you're like, where'd that other person go? Like, where's that other person at over here? And as that transition phase is coming through for you, what's happening, at least for me, is you might be attaching shame to the lack of what you judge as production. Do you know what I mean by that? You're used to producing on one particular level, but now something has shifted in your world and it's not the same anymore. And you are in the period of the transition. You are in the wilderness at that point, and you are attaching shame because you think you ought to be performing this other way, but yet you can't do it. And all of a sudden these beliefs are kind of feeding, right? That's what therapy can do for me. And hopefully that's what therapy can do for you, is release you from any shame-based thoughts that you're carrying as a result of doing your best, but you're judging yourself for it. That's what I'm talking about. It's all inside work, but with guidance from somebody, because we can't see when we're shaming ourselves. We don't always see that. We're holding ourselves up to standards that are just kind of a bunch of BS, right? We can't see that. We can't give ourselves grace when we need grace all the time. I can't express enough how important it is to get somebody else's perspective when you are walking through the storm, when you are walking through the wilderness. And trust me, that wilderness might be a long time. That's okay. But being able to get somebody else's perspective during that, Einstein said it, you can't, and I'm paraphrasing, you cannot solve the same problem with the same head that created it. Right? I cannot solve my problems with my same head, that because I'm the one that was in the problem. I can't see past it. I need an outside perspective. This is one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about coaching. It's one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about helping women in sobriety, because, oh my goodness, when we gain a new perspective, because we trust somebody with our thoughts and with our everything, man, the opportunities are tenfold. You know, the opportunities are tenfold. It's not always about what do I got to do. It's about who am I becoming? Who am I becoming? All right, let's see. I'm going to go on to number four, because I could just talk about that all day. All right. Okay. Number four. Oh, okay. Number four habit, number four thing that for me is just everything. Community of like-minded people. Where is your support coming from? You know, why not find a group of people that can support you? I was fortunate enough to learn this lesson in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was fortunate enough to be a recovered alcoholic and drug addict who understood that people can help carry me when I cannot carry myself. People can love me when I do not love myself. I believe that the organization of that particular recovery group has literally laid the landscape for all these new community groups that are out there. You can get into a community group for just about anything. Even tonight's show, I'm talking about joining this writers group. It's a writers community. It's an entrepreneur community. I mean, you can tap in and hear everybody's experience, strength, and hope. I coached a woman who had lost her son to a heroin overdose. She was in grief groups for a while until she decided not to be, because she didn't want to be in, she wanted to move past the grief. But during that period of time, she was able to find a community of like-minded people that she could connect to. We will sometimes get weird about community, and we will get weird about groups, because if anything's going to test your vulnerability, if anything's going to make you really, you know, test if you're comfortable with what you've got going on, it's joining a community and being open to feedback. But I will tell you, it is one of the best things I had going for me. If it wouldn't have been for the foundation that I had created in the community in recovery, I don't know where I would have been during COVID. I mean, thank goodness for Zoom, because during that time when everything was shut down, we were connecting online. We were connecting face to face. We were hearing and carrying one another as we struggled to get through what that was looking like. And today, and not only the technology, but the awareness of how strong communities are. And yes, you can get in a bad community probably, right? I mean, God forbid we talk about rooms of recovery. They're not always rooms of wellness. Don't get me wrong. You've got personalities in the groups. You will either be at home in a group or you won't be in a group. So just make sure it's a group that you feel safe in sharing in. And remember, we have a thing that we say in some of the recovery rooms, go to at least six, we say meetings, go at least six times before you decide not to go. Take what you agree with and leave the rest. You know, give yourself the support of a group, and they are everywhere. I mean, they are everywhere. It amazes me today in the line of work I'm in and in the groups that I am in professionally, whether that's coaching, so I'm in coaching groups, I'm in writing groups, you know what I'm getting at? Like, I'm going to be in entrepreneur groups. Like, I understand the power and the energy within a group and the support, because really, you and I, I'd say 99% of us really want people to do well. When joining a group, we might sometimes be more concerned about us and thinking all about me, me, me. It might take us a while to catch into that, right? It might take us a while to catch the vibe of being supportive of somebody else. But once you start understanding the impact of the group, it's a truly powerful thing. And then when the relationships grow from the group, well, guess what? You get connected. You have phone numbers you can call. It's not all up to your family to carry you through all your problems all the time. You hearing me? Sometimes releasing our problems into a group format and giving ourselves another outlet other than the spouse, other than using our children as counselors or whatever people got going on, right? Maybe the best friend who's like, oh my goodness, they're calling again. They're still going through that divorce. Oh, I don't think I can listen to that again. Tell them to go join a divorce group because they're all over. So number four tip is community, getting in a community of individuals who are like-minded or who have been where you're at and have applied tools and know how to get out of it. You will be amazed at the impact this has on your life, the relationships that you will build, the long-term friendships that you will have, and the opportunity that once you heal, what that will feel like to be able to give that healing back to somebody else who comes in and who is suffering because you've been there, because you've been there. All right, I'm going to take one more break. And when we come back, I'm going to go over my fifth habit that helped me get through the storm of when life was hitting hard. And that storm was addiction and my mother's Alzheimer's and menopause, rock bottom professional, left a career of 20 years and building a new business. And that leaves out all those other fun things like the relationships and how we show up in our family during that time. So when I come back shortly here from break, I will be going over number five habit that helped me emotionally and mentally survive those storms for about 3 to 4 years. All right, be back shortly.
Join the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to corneliastephanie.com.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera and Dr. Sharon Martin, in the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
Tune in to the hit show, Us, Critical Conversations on the Challenges of Our Time with me, Dr. Krista Lee Crane, on TransformationTalkRadio.com every fourth Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. Listen while we focus on the intersections of truth and justice as we learn how to coexist, pushing our social transformation to the next level. Become true stewards of the justice that is needed in our world. Learn more at PreventionAgenda.org. That's PreventionAgenda.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Know Your Crazy Talk Show. My name is Susan Denae, and you are listening to Emotional Recovery in the Raw. Today's show, I'm talking about my five top habits that helped carry me through life's storm. Lasted about 3 or 4 years, felt like I was out in the wilderness. Things like addiction in the family, family passing away, rock bottom professionalism. I mean, I could go on and on. It's like a bad country song. The more I say it, it's like, woo. My inspiration for this show today was simply doing a tweet this morning, which reminded me of how much really I walked through, but also my family was walking through it too, because, you know, when you're going through something even personally, your family's walking through it with you, especially if you're in a partnership or a marriage, your partner's walking with it through you. And we really went through some stuff there for a few years. But as I was doing that tweet this morning, I was reminded of some really rock solid habits that I've had instilled in my life, even prior to that storm. And so I documented those this morning, and I thought this would be a great show to do in case you're in the storm right now, in case you're struggling, what are some things that you might be able to work towards or even implement to maybe help just for today? I'll do a quick recap before I get to number five, which is my fifth one to talk about today. The first one was simply the morning routine. How sacred my morning routine is to me when I am simply alone. The highlights of that was quiet time, watching my thoughts, not attaching to my thoughts, meditation for 15 minutes, reprogramming my subconscious with some positive statements that I'd like to see in my life. No cell phone for the first 2 hours of the day. And the only reason it gets added in the third hour of the day is simply for my Spotify music. And if I start at that point, as I'm working out, I'm looking at my calendar to see what I've got going on. But I dedicate those first 2 hours only to me and my quiet time, time for reflection, time for journaling. Okay, so morning routine is absolutely important. Number two was that exercise piece, how important it is for me to be able to do some cardio. I would highly recommend some cardio and some resistance training for yourself. I'm not talking about going out and, you know, going all out and being Arnold Schwarzenegger or anything. I'm simply saying, if you ain't moving, get moving. Go take 4 steps outside. Go do a sit down and do a stretch if you need to, but just don't stop. You know, just do a little bit each day so that you can make some progress in that area. But exercise is absolutely key to the mental clarity and even the self-esteem and just feeling good about yourself. Don't you always feel better after you get a good workout in? Number three was therapy. Big believer in therapy, big believer in working with somebody, whether it's therapy or a life coach or a mentor, just having another presence in your life and or when you're in the storm, when you're really walking through it, so that you can get feedback about the perception of what's going on. Because when we're in the storm, we don't always see exactly with a clear mind. Sometimes we've created the problem, so we can't use the same mind to solve the problem that created the problem. Sometimes we're blocked by our grief and our sadness. Sometimes we're overwhelmed with witnessing others in our life suffering, sad, and we can't quite pull ourselves back from their sadness. So we're really blinded a lot. So having that outlet and talking to somebody and getting feedback from them as far as what their perceptions are is really quite helpful. Number four, community of like-minded people. They are everywhere now. That's one of the most beautiful things about technology and where we are coming on, and, you know, in online platforms. I have this experience simply from being a recovered alcoholic and being in the rooms of recovery. But being in a room or being with a group of individuals who have gone through what you're walking through, that can inspire, that can give you experience, strength, and hope when you don't have it. highly recommend it. You got groups everywhere. I'm in a coaching group. I'm in a writing group. I'm in my recovery group. There's so much strength and power within the community, and people really do want people to do well, you know? And so highly suggest it. You may get a little bit weird with group settings. Sometimes we're more vulnerable than we like, and we want to recoil. We like to give, you know, sometimes a suggestion is go to 6 meetings before you decide not to. Take what you agree with and leave the rest. Number 5. Okay, number 5 habit. We all have this, we all do it, but are you aware of how well you're doing it? Because remember, life moves forward. Life does not move backward. What is number 5? Number 5 are self-supporting mantras that you are saying daily to yourself. What is it for you that keeps you moving forward? And a mantra or a saying is a belief that keeps you moving forward. It's a belief that it's ingrained in you. And some people might say, well, I'm really negative. I would disagree that you're 100% negative. I think somewhere in there, there's a little push that you give yourself. What is it that you're saying to yourself? A few of the things that I would say to myself over those 4-year span, it might even went back a little bit further. Just don't stop. Just don't stop. This right here, this podcast, the idea was back in 2018, and then life happened, right? And I just didn't stop. Did I have the social media followers that I wanted? No. Do I still have them where I want to be? No. I had intentions to burn it up in 2018 and did it happen? No. Life happened. Couldn't muster up enough energy to do what I wanted to do back then. Lived with a ton of shame during that time, fighting to stay at the job, being pulled by the dream, but stuck by the finances, all of that stuff. And one of the things I would tell myself on a regular basis is just don't stop. Progress is progress. Lower the expectations down a little bit. Try to give yourself a little bit of grace, but just don't stop is one of my favorites. Another one that I picked up from the Runes of Recovery, and it's probably somewhere in spiritual writings, this too shall pass. Whatever that you're experiencing, it's temporary. It's going to pass. Remember that part earlier in the show where I said, when you know the storm's coming, like you got the phone call, you know this one's going to hurt, and you're like, But one thing's for sure, it's going to pass, which means that the uncomfortableness that you're feeling, the dissatisfaction that you're within, that will pass. It's not permanent. It's a temporary feeling for a long-term possibility. It will pass. Life is full of stuff that's going to be passing. The good passes too, by the way. But if you're in the storm and you're getting a little bit impatient, just remember, everything's passing. The last one is actually a chapter in my book, Know You're Crazy. The last one is my favorite. And this one really helps with any anxiety, future tripping, feeling like you don't have enough, fast enough. The last one that I love to work with people on is, it's real simple. It's all about being present, but simply right here, right now, everything's okay. Right here, right now, everything's okay. I got a roof over my head. I got food in my belly, and I have breath in my lungs. Right here, right now, everything's okay. We will think that it's not okay because we don't like the way we feel about circumstances surrounding us. But when we truly get present right here, everything really is okay. Everything really is okay. All right. Having said that, I am wrapping up here shortly. I hope that the show has been a benefit to you. If you are in the storm, hang on. It will pass. It's not going to stick around forever. If any of those tips that I gave you, if you're thinking, I don't do any of those, I guarantee you do number 5 on some level. You wouldn't be sitting here making progress in your life if you didn't have a mantra. I would encourage you to write down that mantra and the other ones that you believe in that keep you moving forward when you don't want to move forward. If you don't have a morning routine, maybe it's an evening routine. Maybe it's something that it's a practice that you dedicate each day. But when are you getting quiet without distraction every day? Are you allowing yourself even 5 minutes? If you look, my morning routine's been in it for a long time. Don't worry if yours isn't that evolved, but just get started. Same thing with the daily exercise. Just get started. You know, maybe it's just one little sit up today. Maybe it's just one standing squat today, but making the progress and moving forward will go a long way. And remember, the communities that you can join, many of them are not going to cost you any money. Many of them are volunteer community groups. Get eager, get curious, find out what's out there for you. Any storm that you're in, I guarantee you, there are things that you can do that will allow you not to lose your mind, not to go crazy during the storm. And hopefully one of these five tips will help you. Having said that, if you are looking for a coach, I would love to help you. You can check out the application forms on my website at susandene.com. I always appreciate new followers as I grow my following. Facebook, Instagram, Susan Dene, Know You're Crazy. YouTube, would love for you to subscribe to my YouTube channel. Susan Dene, Know You're Crazy. All is well right here, right now. Everything is okay. You guys have a great night. Enjoy the journey. You've only got this one. Hang in there. Bye.
You have been listening to Know You're Crazy.
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 And my name is Susan Dene. We are identifying, understanding, and treating your crazy one episode at a time. Tune in to TransformationTalkRadio.com. To connect with me or grow spiritual life, please visit SusanDene.com. That's Susan Dene, DENEE.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.